Well, hello, my beautiful people. We are currently in my bed. Same story, different coast, I guess. We're currently in my bed in Virginia. I say in my bed, in my half-made home. I have a mattress on the floor and clothes surrounding me and a to-go box next to me. So it's bound to be Josephine's house because that's the only place you're going to find all those things in one spot. My TV is propped up on the cardboard box it came in. That's my TV stand at the moment because I haven't bought a TV mount. I have big plans for this room alone, and yet I don't even have a spare bottle of toothpaste. Oh me, oh my. Welcome to the chaos once again. One of the goals for 2024 for me was consistency, and that is with my podcast even. I'm also trying to get back into blogging. I do personally love my blog, not for anything except for me to just have a place to speak my mind. It's a lifestyle blog mostly. I talk about random things. I used to talk about travel a lot. I wanted to be a travel blogger for a second. I quickly gave up on that dream because I realized that although I love traveling, I also really love sleeping when I travel. I realize that I'm not really in, it's like you've got like an explorer versus a traveler. I am a traveler. I'm not an explorer. I'm a traveler. I want to sleep for 8 to 10 hours in a different city. I don't want to be in my city. I don't want to be in my bed. I want to be in a very expensive bed in like Tokyo or Germany or France. I don't want to be in my bed, but I do want to sleep still. For 10 hours, please. And then I want to go to a spa. And then I'd love a little cab ride to dinner. And then I'd love a little mosey around, super romantic, super pretty. And then I'd love a good little drunken cab ride back. And then go back to my 10 hours of sleep after a skincare regimen. I realized I'm just not the explorer that everyone around me really is. And like, I always got so bothered because my family, like, I'm one that whenever I go traveling, I want to be immersed into the culture, not into the tourist destinations. And so I'm the one that like, whenever I went to Philadelphia the first time, I remember everybody wanted to get a Philly cheesesteak. And there's like two places to get a Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia that are like tourist places. Everybody knows them and everybody goes to them. And you can tell the line is fucking ridiculous. And so we decided instead, like, everybody I was with, I was like, why don't we ask someone local? They're gonna know something better. They're local. They're gonna know what's better around here than what we do. And they're gonna be more willing to give us their spot as long as we're friendly. And so we had made friends with somebody on the street. I don't remember who it was. I think they were a tour guide or something. And we were talking to them and just kind of like carrying on. And then we asked, you know, what their favorite spot was to get a Philly cheesesteak. And they were like, oh, you cannot not go to this one place. And I was like, oh, period. We fucking love that. And so we ended up going to this place and it was to die for. Like, it was amazing. I can't even remember the name of it, but it was amazing. They had celebrities, you know, up on the walls because there were so many people that had come in there. Like, they were world famous without being a tourist destination. And that's something I love about traveling. I like getting in the middle of things, but not in the middle of things where it's like I have a crowd following me around because everybody's doing that. Like, I want to go and like tour the cafes in Florence and, oh, thank you, Jess. But like one of the big things that my mom, it was one of her favorite parts that she loved about Rome. And that was that we would have an afternoon snack, and it was right around 3 p.m. every day, 2 to 3 p.m. We'd sit down, we'd have a couple of appetizers. It was typically something that they brought out, like it wasn't anything insane, maybe some bruschetta, maybe it was, you know, like some olives and nuts, like it wasn't anything insane, but it was a little something, and it got you, you know, it just kind of kicked any sort of like hunger that you had, but it wasn't anything heavy, so you could still walk around and feel good and feel comfortable. and you'd have a glass of wine. And every single cafe had their own house wine. It was kind of like a, oh, nothing in, you know, America honestly compares, because like there's not like a something that you go to and like the Coke taste. I mean, I guess kind of. I mean, but this, it's the same recipe where these cafes had their own house wine. And yes, some of them probably overlapped, but it was just the house wine. Like, it wasn't anything special, or it was special to them, but it wasn't anything like specific or, you know, expensive or extravagant. It was just the house wine. And they, like, you just say, I would like a house wine. And they'd say, okay, well, do you want white or red? And my go-to is white. I'm not really a red girl unless it's dessert or after dark. But I loved getting a white house wine at a cafe. And my mom was the same way. We'd go and get a glass of wine and just a little snack. And that became her favorite part of Rome. And I'm like, see, the thing is, Mom, if you would travel like this instead of insisting on going into every church and doing everything and realize you can come to a place more than once. I understand the world, there's so much to explore. You could go to a different place every single day and you still would not cover the entire world. But you have the chance to find favorites. Go back to that place that you just wanted to see something else. Don't be afraid to do that whenever you retire. Like, you can't just stay and do all the touristy things because that's just what you're supposed to do. And that's where my family and I never got along whenever it came to traveling. And I, so the blog was supposed to be a travel blog with a lifestyle twist to it. I didn't really like it. It kind of became like this podcast where I just really toss like life lessons and shit like that I learned. I guess that's what you could call these things that I toss at you guys as life lessons. But it was really just, it was something for me to do for a while. I became a person, I have to have something to do, and it has to be something that makes me happy and passionate and excited. And I'd always loved writing. I always say that I want to write a book. That is a goal for me before I die, is to write a book. I actually want to write two, but like one, I want to write one complete fiction book, like about a love story, but it's like based on like my love story, but I want it to be like all fiction with a touch of my life. And then I want to write like an autobiography, and I hope to do something impressive enough to recount for an autobiography that's necessary. You know what I mean? But I remember it was the summer between high school and college. And you know, that summer is such a weird summer anyways. Like, you don't really understand anything around you. You're overwhelmed, like you're probably working way too fucking much. Like, it's just a lot. And you feel like you got to do everything but nothing at the same time, because this is your last summer as like a kid, but you've also got so much to do, and you got to pack and you got to get ready for college, and all your friends go off to college. And like, I was the last one to go to college, like not last one to go as in I, you know, like enrolled a year later, but last one to go as in my school was on a quarterly system, so I didn't start school until October, where all of my friends started school in August. So I had like a month and a half where I was going up to Fayetteville to see my friends, or, you know, going places and trying to just fill up my time outside of my shifts with the bakery. And so I found myself at my boyfriend's house a lot, even if he wasn't there, just to hang out with his mom, because I knew his mom was empty nesting. And I would, you know, go and chat with everybody, and I'd make crafts. I painted a ton. Oh my God, my grandmother's got like 6 paintings from that period alone of my life. I decided to start my blog, so I completely created that and made that and tried to do something with it. And I started helping my boyfriend's mom market her business. Like, I was doing everything besides focusing on the fact that I was moving to California. So much so that I didn't even pack until a couple days before. I actually didn't want to go by the time I came to it. I remember talking to my now ex-boyfriend and telling him how I did not want to leave anymore. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And he's like, well, you can't expect yourself at 16 to know what you want to do with the rest of your life. And I'm like, but I was so adamant that this is what I was supposed to do with the rest of my life. And he goes, but what if it's not anymore? And I'm like, but what if it is? And like, I remember him and I having that conversation. Like, it's still very much so ingrained in my head. And it just absolutely mind-boggling to me at one point that I actually doubted that I wasn't supposed to be in Los Angeles, California. I doubted it and thought about staying in Alma, Arkansas, and just living life. And don't get me wrong, I was so in love with him. And I mean so in love with him. If I would have stayed in Arkansas, I probably would have gotten married, had kids, all was well. Like, rings were picked out, whole nine yards. Like, him and I were in game, for sure, if I would have stayed in that life. I didn't want to. And I remember him coming to LA, and I was talking about it, and, like, he was supposed to come and join me in LA. And after he came out with me and hung out with me out there for a few days, he kind of decided that he didn't want to. He got into his frat and, you know, became a college kid. And he didn't want to do that anymore. And, you know, honestly, I can't blame him. It was my life, not his. And you could tell, even after visiting me that first time, that this was not a life he was excited for. He was kind of doing it as a sacrifice. And it's just kind of where we started to drift apart after that trip. Like, I mean, we probably didn't, like, drift until about Christmas, like, after Christmas. Yeah, I would say after Christmas was, like, the biggest for us. But neither here nor there, I had started this as something to get out of my own head. I just needed a place to go. And that's kind of how the podcast started, too. I just needed somewhere to go. I needed someone to talk to. And so I guess you guys are my therapists, and you didn't even know it. I'm not even fucking paying you guys. Damn, y'all are unlucky. But I started all of this just to find an alleyway, find an avenue for me to feel comfortable, for me to express myself. And writing has always been something that I've done that with. And I say all this to say, wow, way to just have a 10-minute segue, Josephine. I say all this to say that I'm trying to get more consistent with my podcasting in 2024, which means that every Tuesday you guys will have a new episode, because Tuesdays are a vibe. I started the podcast by releasing on Tuesdays. I thought Tuesdays were such a moment, and I still believe that. I fucking love Tuesdays, and I can't really explain why. I think it's because, like, the Sunday scaries are out of the way. You got over the Monday blues. Tuesday's actually a pretty decent day. Like, you got a shit ton of work done on Monday, most likely, or you got everything organized, so that way Tuesday you can go in and get a shit ton of work done. You feel comfortable. You probably had a couple meetings, and you are ready to go. Like, the way I love that next year, the new year, oh, pause. Does the new year start on a Tuesday or a Wednesday next year? It starts on a Wednesday. Tuesdays are my favorite days, and it's skipping it. Hold up, let's triple check. I think that's the case, because it's a leap year this year. And you know what sucks is my birthday was supposed to be on a Tuesday, and I was originally born on a Tuesday, so I was pretty excited. Oh, guys, it starts on a Wednesday. That's fucking dumb. That's fucking dumb. Sometimes I really hate the Mayan calendar. That sounds so weird, but I fucking hate the Mayan calendar from time to time. Because, like, what the fuck is a leap year for? Damn. Anyways, Tuesdays are such a vibe, and I'm a firm believer of that. And so I'm just, like, I'm going to stick to Tuesdays, and that's whenever y'all can expect a podcast moving forward for me. I don't know how consistent blog posts are going to get. I'm going to actually try and turn that into more of a fashion and marketing blog, like a fashion marketing blog specifically, for Jury. And so with all of that, I'm really excited to see what that becomes, but I still will have, like, my lifestyle touch on it. Like, it's still my blog, but it's the CEO of Jury's blog, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different kind of Josephine coming at you. And so this is more of my personal space now. Obviously, it was already a personal space because y'all know way too fucking much about me. But it's become more of a personal space because I'm kind of cutting people off of the personal aspects of me and other avenues. Like, my socials, yeah, they're personal. They're me, obviously. However, I'm going to start actually, like, creating the content that I know they're going to want to see, therefore kind of creating more of a business aspect to it. And it just kind of forces everything to be, cut off and not near as personal. And it's not that you're not making the content personal. It's just at the end of the day, you're making content to make money. You're not making content necessarily to connect with people. And although you love connecting with people and that's what this is all about, it's also about paying your bills. And I feel like that's something that sometimes people forget about in their vibes of Tuesdays, is that we're all here just to make a buck. Like, at the end of the day, there's very few people in this world that are doing something purely out of passion. There's a lot of people that live in jobs that they absolutely hate, and it's just so they can put a meal on their table. I know people that, even back home, that they're stuck. They're stuck. They are sitting at almost like the cusp of middle class, and they're just living paycheck to paycheck, just enough to get by, so that way they can live some sort of life. I don't know if they've ever went on a vacation. They haven't really tried to like push themselves outside of like, they don't want to be super successful. They don't want to be with a ton of money or anything like that. And that's completely okay. But at the end of the day, they just see their jobs as jobs. There's very few people in this world that don't see a job as a job. And I've noticed this more and more frequently. Like, I've met very few people in my life that don't see their job as a job. And like, I've never seen my job as a job. It's always been something I've been so excited to do. Even whenever I was a waitress at the bakery, I loved that job. Don't get me wrong, I hated it some days. But for the most part, I loved that job. Actually, there's still one moment in that job that fucking haunts me. And it was, we had these specific cookies, and they were the most delicate cookies. They were like little, skinny, beautiful crosses, typically used for baptisms and christenings and stuff like that. But they were the most beautiful little crosses. They probably took fucking forever to decorate. And it was Christmas time, I think, or it was like the springtime. There's really busy seasons in the bakery. And so I believe it was, I think it was more of the Christmas time. Baptisms usually happen more in Christmas, not Christmas, springtime. And so I remember somebody was looking for cookies. And I was going around, and I was like, we had like this little wooden box thing in the center, and it had shelves, but you could see on both sides. So it was pretty much like a bookshelf, but the back was open, so you could see through the bookshelf. And we had like two or three of those right next to each other. And we ran that as like our place where orders went, and we were able to go and grab them, bring them to the counter, charge people, they took them home. And it was really great. However, in all of this, I also had not realized, like, they're smaller boxes. So with our cookies, it's like we had decorated cookies, and they were decorated with like a glaze. So you had a glaze, and then somebody would go in and pipe buttercream frosting on them. And so this buttercream frosting, obviously, if it got bumped, then it was messed up and then the design was ruined. So you had to lay them flat. So you had like these really skinny, like not very tall boxes, but they were like long or, you know, like very square. And I did not see this box of very fragile crosses. And I said, here's the order. And I shoved the order forward thinking there was no box on the other side. And I shoved a box of cookies out towards the counter, and they slammed onto the ground. The guy that was picking up the cookies for his son's birthday was very upset because he thought those were his cookies. And I came around and I said, oh, fuck. And mind you, this is a store full of customers, and I do not care. I said, oh, fuck. And I grabbed the cookies. I hand him his cookies. And he was like, y'all need to be more careful. And I said, if you're back here for even 5 minutes, you'll understand the stress that we're under from jackasses like you. And he walks away. And I was like, you know what? That's probably for the best. Because if he would have said something else, I probably would have came over the counter. Like, honestly, I am not a fighter. I am not a fighter. I don't fight people. I don't think I've ever thrown a punch unless it's been at my brother. Like, I don't fight. But I have wanted to sometimes. Like, and like Logan and I were talking because I don't remember what happened, but I got like all worked up about something. And he was like, yeah, because you're going to fight somebody. I'm like, honestly, one of these days, I'm not even going to see it coming. And I'm going to fucking waylay a bitch. Like, I can see it happening. I'm going to get so pissed because somebody's going to have pushed my buttons too much. And finally, I'm just going to fucking snap and I'm going to lose my shit. And he goes, I just hope it's not on me. And I'm like, I would never punch you, baby. But
I will punch the bitch that looks at you the wrong way. Like, I'm not, and I don't punch people, but I feel like I would. Neither here nor there. I felt so bad. And that whole interaction, including after the fact when I had to go and tell somebody that the cookies were ruined, and that we needed to find a different solution for these cookies. And mind you, these people that are at this bakery are my family friends. Like, they are, like, if I get married even nearby them, they're making my wedding cake. Like, I already told them, I was like, you know what, I'm probably not getting married in Arkansas. And they were like, well, yeah, you wouldn't get married in Arkansas. And this was whenever I lived in Cali. I was like, so I'll probably get married in Cali. And they're like, okay. And I was like, but y'all will still, like, make the cake and freeze it, ship it to me, come out, decorate it, and be at my wedding. Right? And they just look at me like, and I said, I will pay you. And they said, well, yeah, if you're paying, we'll be there. But these have been, like, family friends of mine. I grew up with them. Almost all of them taught me in PRE. Like, I taught their kids whenever they were in Bible school, like, in vacation Bible school. Like, I know all of them. And so I remember going to Lauren and being like, Lauren, I did something bad. And she was like, what happened? And Caitlin, someone else that were, like, there were two Caitlins and Lauren that I felt comfortable. They were all about, like, they weren't my age, but they were younger. So I felt like I could talk to them and they'd understand. And so I went up and I started telling them kind of what happened. And then Caitlin's like, open the box. And so I open the box and I go, and I hear go, oh, fuck. Because they, like, these are cookies that you had to, like, we had to bake them hours ahead of time. Like, it's a mess. And we were so backed up. We didn't have enough. Like, it was crazy. And, oh, my God. That's, I don't think that's something I'll ever get over. Like, I was forever fucking embarrassed. And, like, people don't get it, but that kind of embarrassment sticks with you for life. Like, you're stuck with that shit. You're not getting rid of it. It's not happening. And Oh my God. It's so bad. I cannot continue to relive that. Also, in the, like, this is just a girl conversation, obviously, because I'm just bouncing from thing to thing and nothing fucking relates to each other. But I have this app on my phone. Okay, so I'm really into trying to be self-care, you know, like, take care of yourself, Josephine. And in turn, I got this app last year called Finch. I think that's what it's called. Hold up. It's called Finch. And you get, like, your little self-care animal. And I think I've talked about this before. And, like, you get this little bird and you, like, take care of her. And her or him, you get to choose everything about this, like, animal. And, you get to create, like, you get to set goals, and these goals are what, like, make, these goals are, like, what makes you, like, diamonds. Like, it's really kind of interesting. So, like, you get, like, energy points, right? And, like, these energy points are whenever you mark off a task for the day. So it can be, like, making your bed, take a shower, say one thing you're grateful for before bed. And I use that as, like, my praying time. Like, it's really just a checklist to make sure you're taking care of yourself. And, like, there's, like, perform a 3-minute exercise I enjoy. I haven't marked that one off in God only knows how long. Like, it's that kind of stuff. And you're able to kind of, like, take advantage of your, like, self-care. And if you're like me, I love a good to-do list where I just click, 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 and it gives me the satisfaction of it, like, accomplishing something else. And so you get 5 energies, and you have to get to 30 energies for your little penguin to go on an adventure. And so my Finch, her name is Ella. I love the name Ella. That is probably going to be the name of my child. Like, I love the name Ella. I actually plan to name my kid Elizabeth and calling her Ella. And Logan and I have actually talked about that, and he agrees with that one. He likes that one. But it's fine because he gets to pick the boy name that happens, so it's whatever. neither here nor there. I just hope I have my girl first. Honestly, pause. We'll come back to the little Finches, because the way I don't know if I want a boy or a girl first, like, I talk like this like I'm actually having a kid anytime soon, but I seriously, like, I've been thinking about it, and, like, as an oldest daughter, like, oldest daughter syndrome is completely fucking real, and anybody that tells you it's not is a fucking liar and probably the youngest, because oldest daughter syndrome is a real thing. It is a complicated thing. It is a pain in the ass. It's stressful, and it's, like, they complain because nobody, or because people are always insisting on taking care of them or whatever. And the reason of, like, the reason that oldest daughters have the complex to feel the need to take care of everybody is because that's what we've always done. And mind you, oldest daughters also have a tendency to date the baby. Like, I see all these girls that post videos, like, walking through the airport, and they're like, you know, how great is it to have, like, an emotional support husband or whatever, where I get to turn off my brain. And, like, I want to be that girl so bad, but I don't think I can. I don't think I can. And it's not from the fact of, like, me not wanting to, because, like I said, I really do want to be that girl that can just really turn off her brain and not stress about anything that's happening around her. I will never be her, because I'm the bitch that has the passports. I'm the bitch that has all the tickets on my phone. I'm the bitch that knows the itinerary. I'm the bitch that probably planned the whole thing. Like, one of my biggest things for whenever I was dating someone and I found somebody again was I didn't want to have to plan a date. And it's not that I didn't want to have to plan a date ever. It's that I didn't want to have to plan a date when we first started dating. I wanted to be dated. I wanted to be taken out on dates. I wanted to have to not stress about anything or anything. Like, I just wanted somebody to say, hey, are you free at this time? And I say yes or no. And they say, okay, sure, wear this dress. Like, wear a dress. We're going here. That's all I wanted. And that's one of the things that impressed me most about Logan. Like, in our messages on Tinder, you can see we didn't talk that long. And, like, he claims we talked a ton. Like, we knew each other so well. I don't recall actually knowing this man. And, like, we chatted a little bit. But all we did was talk about, like, what book I was reading. Like, we didn't talk about anything insane. And, like, we didn't talk about, like, necessarily what food we like or anything like that. We talked about a couple of, like, the quick small talk things, but we didn't have, like, a full-blown conversation. And so, like, I remember him asking me out on the date, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'm down. Because I was like, if nothing else, free food. Like, that's how I saw any bad date, was, like, at least I got dinner. And, like, there was this one date I went on. Oh, my God, it was terrible. It was terrible. It was okay, so the thing is, that was a night that I had planned two dates in a night already, and so I had this guy that I had went on a date with. We had just went and got drinks. Like, it wasn't anything crazy. We got drinks and, like, a little suite, and I actually ended up, like, dating him for about 2 weeks, and sorry, I'm, like, so phlegmy right now. I didn't know that was right there. Sorry, I'm just, like, really flimmy right now. But anyways, me and this guy were dating. And this was the first time I had met him. I was supposed to go on a date with somebody else at 8 p.m. So I had came home. I had started to change. I had started to get ready for the second date. Now, the second date, I was going to this place called Sessioni's. Sessioni's is a Soho House partnered restaurant. Like, they don't only host Soho House members, but it's a very high profile restaurant. And as a Soho House member, you can get reservations easier. And me being a Soho House member, I'm aware of this. And so he's like, hey, let's go to Sessioni's. And I'm like, okay. And, like, anybody that's anybody knows that location. And so I was like, okay, sure. So I came home, I put on a different outfit that was Sessioni's appropriate, and I had texted him and said, you know, hey, I'm getting ready, how are you? And he's like, I'm good, yeah, I'm getting ready too, I'm about to hop in the shower. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, do you want to give me something to spark my imagination? And I'm sitting here, I'm like, this man is trying to get off before he even sees me. That is wild. No.
I straight up was like, no, I'm not sending you nudes before we even go on a date. Like, that is wild. That is wild. If this was just a hookup, cool. But, like, I'm not getting dolled up and going to a place that's really fucking expensive to hook up with you before the date. Like, that's not happening. And I was like, if you take me to a nice restaurant and I fuck with you, then yeah. And I know it's not going anywhere, then yeah, I'll fuck. But I'm not going to be the girl that, like, gets you off before the date and I don't know who you are. And so I was like, haha, you'll just have to wait. And I was trying to be real flirty in my denial, and he was like, rather not. Fucking blocked my ass and canceled dinner. And I said, that is fucking wild. Oh my god, I was livid. But luckily, oh my god, I don't know if it was lucky at all, I had this other guy that was FaceTiming me all night long, and I just kept ignoring the call. He was drunk. He had just made it to LA from Houston or something like that. I can't remember, but he was drunk out of his mind, and he had said, I had finally, like, answered his phone call, and we were talking and everything, and he was like, let me take you out, and I was like, no. You're not taking me out. And he was like, let me take you out. And I'm like, fine. You can take me to dinner. And he goes, when? I said, right now. I'm dressed. I'm ready to go. You want to go? And he's like, yeah, I'm on my way. Kicks his brother out the car, into the bar. Comes down, picks me up. We make it to, we are going to go to Soulmate. And I was like, you know what? Soulmate's not open anymore. Let's go to Firefly. We can still catch Last Call and food. He's like, okay, cool. I'm like, now, mind you, Firefly is one of my favorite restaurants in LA. I love Firefly. And so we go to Firefly. And he's convinced I'm his wife. He's convinced I am the one that will just make his life better. And it's just yada, yada, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty great. Mind you, I'm also drunk. Like, I'm not driving. So I'm fucking slammed right now. And, like, I was slammed after the few drinks that I had with the last guy I was with. So I didn't think anything of this. And so I go to dinner. I order my favorite salad from there. And I was sitting there talking to him. We were having a good old time. All was well. He's telling everybody that I'm his wife. And I'm like, oh, I am not. I actually just met him. And, like, that was such a horror story for me. Like, it was terrible. But I had some really good Prosecco. I love their Prosecco. Because the thing is, the restaurant at Firefly, I dated a bartender for a while. And the bartender, he worked at a bar on Rodeo. And that bar on Rodeo, ooh, it was so beautiful. He worked at the Hideaway. And the Hideaway is really pretty, really nice. They have really great Prosecco. And it turns out that the owners were, I don't know if they were friends or if they owned both locations. I don't remember the exact logistics. But I do remember he showed a photo of the owners and him at the Christmas party, and they were talking about a couple of people that, like, I guess run back and forth that are, like, general managers, and he got a really big discount on dinner. I think he got really, like, almost all of it free. Like, it was insane. And so it just all kind of blew my mind, but I remember all of this, and so I remembered loving their Prosecco, and I still, anytime I go there, I get a glass of Prosecco. Like, it's my favorite. That and the Strawberry Fields. Oh, their Strawberry Fields is so good. And so, anyways, I'm, like, three Proseccos deep, almost. I didn't finish the third one because I felt like I was going to throw up, so I didn't finish the third one. And we go to leave, and he is just, like, losing his shit. He's just, like, obsessed with me. Pumpkins dreaming, that scared me. And I just felt so hot, so sexy. Like, I just felt like all into myself, you know? And I remember him asking for a kiss, and I said no. And he said, why won't you kiss me? And I said, I don't kiss smokers. And he was like, you don't kiss smokers? And I was like, no. He's like, I'll quit today. And that, like, honestly, like, that kind of dedication to me is what I needed. Like, I need someone that wants to give up everything for me. Sarah, I love you.
you kill me sometimes with that text per text thing. Like, it actually, in moments like this, drives me fucking batty. Hold up. Pause. I want to see what's going on. Okay. They're just catching up. But neither here nor there. All of this was happening. Pumpkin? Are you okay? She sounded like a whole human there. That was wild. But anyways, that was absolutely crazy of me. And I will never forget that date night. I don't know where I was going with that. But yeah. No, that was crazy. I still can't get over some of my dating stories in LA. Like, they're fucking wild. Absolutely wild. The guy with the mixtape still is probably my favorite. Like, that was fucking crazy. And to think all of this happened last year while I was hoeing around. Oh, I was talking about Logan. Okay, I remember where I'm at now. So, the thing is, like, I'm very much a girl that has to have shit planned like that. And that was something that was, like, a non-negotiable for me whenever I started dating someone new, was that I needed it to be planned. I'm also very type A. I like things planned out. I like to not have to think about things. And I know that if I have a daughter, especially if I have a daughter first, I'm supremely fucked. Like, I'm gonna do my best to not toss my mental illness down to her, but it just kind of happens. You don't mean for it to. Like, it's not like you want your daughter to be mentally ill with you. Like, that's never a goal of a mother. And so I just don't know how well that's gonna work out. We're gonna hope for the best. We're gonna hope for the best. But I really have no clue. And, like, they always say that if you have a daughter first, then you needed a best friend. If you have a son first, then you needed to know what true love really is. Now, mind you, I have a best friend. I've got a couple, a few. And I feel like I really do know what true love is. I've never been loved better, honestly. Like, yeah, he's a jerk sometimes, but it's not in a jerk way of, like, any of my exes. He just doesn't always say yes, and it bothers me. Like, it's not even the fact that he's just, like, he's not mean to me. I just don't like to hear no. And so, like, I feel like that's the difference. And I don't know. It's just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I would have first. Like, you kind of know with some people, like, oh, they're probably going to have a girl first, or oh, they're going to have a boy first. And it's just kind of, like, by the way that they have, like, people around them. Like, there's one of my friends from high school. She announced that she's having a baby boy. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily shocked by that. I'm very happy that she's having a baby boy. And it's just like a mother and son's relationship, I don't think is anything that can be matched outside of the scope of a mother and son. Like, it's just special. And I'm glad that that's the experience that she's going to have first, because she's got some really great friends. And I do not know anything about, like, her love life or anything, but I do know that she deserves to be loved in the most precious way possible. And so I'm just hopeful that a child does really show her the love that she's always deserved, as well as just the people around her showing that love. Because this girl, I mean, she deserves the world and more. Like, she's amazing. And I love her to pieces. And to this day, I'm so sad I wasn't able to make it to her wedding. And I just, like, I want to hug her anytime I think about her. Like, I love her so much. And I don't know. It's just, like, you hear those little tales and you're just curious to how true they really are. And that's one of them for me, is, like, I'm very curious to what I will have first, because I feel like I really have all bases covered. But I guess you never know. Anyways, this is a 40-minute episode of me just fucking rambling, so thank you for vibing out with me on a Tuesday. I will chat with you guys later. I love you. I hope you have a great day, week, whatever it may be. And yeah.